Our session this time is entitled Mercy Goes with Christiana. And as we did last time, I'm going to try to get you to respond back to me. I'll try not to read the answers right out and get you to respond back to me. And with the answers as we go along, I hope you're... I saw my wife had her book out, so I think she's ready this week as opposed to last week. She did her homework, so that's very good. I hope some of the rest of you have also. Now, the first section, a little bit, Mercy joins Christiana. She says, I would never go near the town anymore, the town of destruction, if she could turn to Christ. All right, Christiana says, the king is one that delighteth, Harry, in mercy. That's right. And Mercy then says, then I will go thither and will take what shall follow. All right. What causes Mercy to weep as she's heading towards the wicket gate? The condition of her relatives, all right? The thought of her lost relatives.
There was something else after that sentence, but I put that down.
Right.
It also said she was upset because there was no one to tell them.
That's right. She was also sorrowful. There was no one to tell them. Now, well, let's come back to that point in just a second. Let's finish this section and then we'll do a little discussion of it. When the party of the pilgrims arrives at the Slough of Despond, what do they discover concerning the repairs ordered by the king? Remember, Christian had a real problem at the Slough of Despond. What did they discover at the Slough of Despond? Okay, that's right. So they weren't. It was still a mess. Still a mire. All right. And those who said they were there to repair it only made it worse. All right.
The would-be king's laborers.
My wife says. All right. Now, what is the answer to Despond that they seem to hear in their ears? In Luke 1:45, Tony? Blessed is she that believeth. All right, now, and you'll notice as they go through, they look for the stones, the stepping stones on the way through, but Christiana was like to fall in at least two times. And Mercy seemed to have an easier time across. Now, let's talk about a little bit about this whole event. Christiana is going towards the wicket gate and towards the celestial city because she has an invitation from the king, and she has the previous witness of her husband, Christian, and all of these things. So it pictures somebody who is responding to a direct message from the king. But Mercy has had no such message, and so she is a little bit hesitant about coming. In responding, she's hesitant that she'll be admitted. Part of that is the culture that they're in. They're in the culture of England in the 1600s, the 17th century. And they are, people were very conscious of trespassing and any kind of laws of that nature. If you watch any of these Victorian videos, you'll hear about all kinds of offenses that people will have with one another because somebody's trespassing on their grounds, and they'd be very quite indignant about such things. But there's also this hesitance because this Lady Mercy, wonders whether she is going to be included. And so Christiana reassures her that the Lord, or the King, delights in mercy. And as she goes, she begins to weep about her relatives. And what does Christiana assure her about her concerns? What image does she use? Anybody remember? Because Christian felt the same towards Christiana, remember? Okay, and she says that the Lord bottled up his tears. And she says, maybe the Lord will do the same for you and win your relatives as well. Bring your relatives as well. Okay. Is that Psalm 56? Okay. So, so Mercy decides to go with Christiana. And by the way, what John Bunyan is illustrating is that there are many ways that people are drawn to Christ. Some are by the invitation of a family member. Some are by hearing the Word of God. Some are by an evangelist. Some are by a friend inviting them to come along. There's many different ways that people are introduced to Jesus Christ. That's what he's representing here. All right, the wicket gate, again, is the symbol of salvation. And as Bunyan says, I saw all of them go up to the gate. Instead of an answer, what did they hear? Who's got that one for me? A dog barking. A brute of a dog. The keeper of the gate says, suffer the little children to come unto me. And with that he, what? Shut up the gate. All right, so he brought in Christiana and her sons, but Mercy is hanging back, I suppose, and he doesn't notice her, and she's outside the gate. Christiana begins to intercede for Mercy, who came to the gate as she thinks, and what's the next phrase?
Without sending for.
So this is that same thing where, without an invitation, it's a picture of a almost like an English estate, and she's, you know, hasn't been sent for, so how could she possibly enter? But then Mercy knocks loudly for herself and faints, afraid that she what? Pardon me? That she would not be admitted. Somebody else have anything different there? Couldn't go through the gate, all right. That she was presuming upon the Lord's invitation is what I put. But that one is, I don't think we're quoting anything there, so you can have a number of different answers. Who is the keeper of the gate and why does he let Mercy in? Who's the keeper of the gate? The Lord himself, yes. All right. And he lets her in because... Tony? Okay, his promise of forgiveness. All right. Anything else on that, Jan? Because Mercy believes in him, that's right. Okay. And I had in there, somewhere in there, he might have said something like this, but I put, who prays for all them that believe on me. Okay, so he is... He is merciful to those who believe. All right. Then the next section. The pilgrims ask concerning the dog that frightened them, but find that the dog has another what? Somebody got that one?
Owner.
Another owner. And he is one whose barking I turn to what? The prophet of pilgrims. Now, how does the Lord turn the barking of the dog into the prophet of pilgrims? Anybody want to?
He makes sure their desire or their resolve.
I guess I think that would be perhaps an answer. He makes sure their desire or resolve. Cam? Weeding out the weak. The weak and faint-hearted. Yeah, the ones who will be frightened away by such a thing. Yes, Tony? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we've been talking about trust, and even this morning as we're going through there in the bright and morning star, you know, we're calling people to believe in some words in a book. It's written 2,000 years ago. There is a sense from the natural mind, the natural man, it is, you know, can this be true? And there's a certain, and of course, in this world, when somebody's thinking about Christianity and contemplating it, you know, what kind of dogs would bark at them as they're about to enter the gate?
Peers.
Okay, peers. So people who they know who say, well, you know, what are you going to that church for? Mm-hmm. Maureen?
In the more Asian lands or whatever.
Yes.
There's a family that will
occupy them. Yes, okay. Yes. Some cultures people have been known to hold funerals for their family member who has become a Christian. And there's all kinds of pressure brought to bear on someone who might be contemplating Christianity. And I remember reading Ed and Adam Judson's biography, by Courtney Anderson, called To the Golden Shore. And he talks about the early converts they had to the Lord Jesus in Burma. I think Rangoon was the city. Now, do they still call it?
They call
it, I know the country is called Myanmar, but what do they call the city now? I can't remember. It's one of the main cities anyway. But they're in in Rangoon, there is a golden pagoda, and there's this huge Buddha there. And there's on the road to the golden pagoda, there are religious shops, if you will, and little prophets for hire, and you can have a little booth, and you can go and talk to a Buddhist monk and get advice. So Judson said, "Well, I'm going to put up a Christian shop," and he rented a space there on that road, and invited people to come in and to hear the gospel, and he would teach and preach every day about salvation in Jesus Christ. And very, very few people, many people would come in and listen, but very few people would make any kind of a commitment. And he said that when it came to the point of being willing to be identified as a Christian, some began to believe some of the things he was teaching, but to be identified by baptism, that was the mark that really solidified it. People were very reluctant to take that step because that meant I'm stepping from one culture to another and from one God to another. And that was a real pressure point. Well, that's a pressure point wherever you are. In a home where no one else in your family, maybe for generations, has believed, it can become a very difficult thing as people wrestle. I mean, obviously, these are very tightly held beliefs, what you believe in your worldview, and your family can become, or your work, people you work with, or friends, or whatever, and it can be a great sacrifice. And so there's many barking dogs. All right. But the Lord uses that to spur people on to belief. Yes, Harry.
Christian's wife, Christiana, was a barking dog for him.
That's right. Yeah, she was a barking dog for him. That's right. Now, it's not a nice way to refer to one's wife, but that's that's what she was at that point. That's right.
Metaphorically,
that's right. Now, what did the Lord do for pilgrims in preparation for their journey? Fed them and washed their feet. All right? And so that was. And then, why did Christiana consider her decision to trust the Lord good, even though she waited a long time before making the decision? Because 'tis better late than never. All right? 'Tis better late than never. And that is true, by the way. You know, some people make a mess of their lives, and then the Lord gets through. Somebody witnesses to them, and it is better that they come to God late than they come not at all. Now, it's even better if you can come early, but if you can't come early, come now would be good. All right? Okay, next section, the bad fruit. The boys did pluck them and began to eat. Now, we're noting this mostly because it's going to show up later, in a couple weeks. Okay, the garden belonged to who? Pardon me?
Well,
I don't know. Does it identify him as Satan?
No.
It just says him that owned the dog. But yes, yeah, it is the enemy or an enemy. But in the text, it says the one who owned the dog owned the fruit. It was hanging over the wall. All right. Yeah, him whose was that barking dog? To put it in perfect 17th century English. All right. My sons, you transgress, for that fruit is none of yours. Now, what was her concern? What was Christiana concerned about here? No, that was poisonous. Theft. Okay, theft. Okay, now, according to common law, and even according to Old Testament law, if there is something hanging over the fence, it is free for anybody. Is that not right? That's right. If my neighbor has an apple tree and his branches hang over on my side, those are mine. He's in my airspace. Okay? Now, but regardless, she is concerned about that. If she had known whose it was, she would have
been ready to die for fear.
Now, the reason I point this out is that it's going to come up again in the story later. Okay, so it's sort of a little aside, but I want to be sure you notice that. Okay, and then the attack of two very ill-favored ones. The two men began to what? Lay hands upon them. And there's a word in there, letted. What does that mean? It means prevented. Okay, it's one of those English words that has changed. And actually, I noticed, I didn't put this in, I was reading this again this morning. In this thing, they mention the word prevent. And what does it mean there? To go before, you know, to get in front of them. So, anyway, it's quite interesting. All right, they put themselves under the laws provided for. Oh, sorry, I said that twice. For the protection of women. Oh, sorry, I put it in my notes. I put part of it twice in my notes here. Anyway, but the laws that are provided for the protection of women. What are those laws? What are those laws? What is he referring to? Does anybody remember? I hear you muttering over there, Vera. What is it? Right. In the Old Testament, that somebody who is, a woman who is assaulted in the city must what? Cry out.
Murder.
Right. Well, they cry, that's the English. You know, murder, murder. Well, okay. Well, because if she doesn't cry out, she is considered to be consenting to the attack. Okay. And so if she cries out, she shows that she is resisting and she's innocent. All right. A man called, what? Reliever came to her aid. All right. Now, he says, I marvel that you petition not the Lord there for our what? Conductor. Now, what would a conductor be? A tour guide. Well, not more than a tour guide. A protector, a companion. And of course, these are women, and the picture is of them sort of traveling on their own. And so they are concerned about the way and the need for someone to go with them. Yes, Jen?
Like a chaperone,
right. Or a guardian, maybe. A guardian. Yeah. Yeah, it was unacceptable for women to travel by themselves in that culture. That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah. They wouldn't have attacked them. Now, what lesson concerning prayer does Reliever teach here? You have not because you ask not, I guess. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else put anything different there? That's basically the idea, but any other way of saying it? Right. Right? Because he does desire us to pray. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, and why would that be? Why does he do that? No, you're not Vera. Marlene. Sorry. That's right. So that we can show that we depend upon him. So we're not taking these things for granted. If the Lord would just give us what we needed, you know, before we even knew we needed it, which he sometimes does, but suppose he were to do that. Would you have the sense of God's provision so much? You see, that's the idea. So God doesn't always, the Lord sometimes delivers us before we know we're even in need. He certainly does, but he doesn't always. And the reason is that he wants us to depend on him and to learn to pray. All right? Now, what does mercy discover about the course of the Christian life through this experience?
I think
that it's fraught with danger. There's a good word. Fraught. Jen? That's right. Danger and sorrow still exist in a time of blessing. She had assumed. What had she assumed about the Christian life? Troubles are over, right? Troubles are over. And so she learned, no, my troubles aren't over. Now I do have the Lord to call on, and I do have a relationship with God, and I do have the promise of eternal salvation, but I may still be faced with great trouble and danger. All right, finally, what does mercy see in the act of God to protect them in the way? Yes, okay. And there's a phrase that he used about God's mere good pleasure. Okay, God's mere good pleasure. God is pleased to meet the needs of His people. And so we have these pilgrims now on the way. The picture is they have entered salvation by entering the wicket gate, and they are on the journey towards the things to come. Let's see. Rory, if you'll come and grab these and stand in the back. These are section 2, Christiana and Mercy are section 3 actually, are going to arrive at the interpreter's house. And they will see, just as Christian did, they'll see the same things that he saw, and they are going to also see some new things, some new illustrations of truth in Interpreter's House. I think you'll find it very interesting as we go through the next section, and we'll discuss that next time. But the key things here to highlight are God's mercy in saving anyone who comes, anyone who calls. Right, and that's partly why the name Mercy is given to this girl. All right. Secondly, God's provision and answer to prayer when we are in need. If you're a believer and you call on Him, He will answer. He's ready to answer out of His mere good pleasure. So those are the two main lessons. Any other comments that you'd like to make concerning this section of Pilgrim's Progress? Tony. Yes. Yes, that's right. That's one of my obscure questions. Okay. So I realized as I read that just now, I personalized or personified despond for you. But what I meant was for you to pick up that verse that they heard as they got through the pool or got past them. To the experience that they were having? Well, what they were doing, remember the slough of despond is something that represents sort of the afflictions that might come upon your mind as you're considering whether or not to believe in Christ. And the idea is, again, you know, they haven't got to the barking dog, but there's many others who would oppose them. They were opposed when they left the city, as we saw last time, by the woman, Mrs. Timorous. And they, so there's a lot of things that will play on their mind and make them afraid, and perhaps, as it said, Christiana was about to almost was like to fall in a couple of times, and so the word they heard is blessed is she that believeth, and the idea is that, of course, he's taking that out of context. I forget if that's talking to Mary about the birth of Jesus, I think, but anyway, the idea is that. That you have to press on in faith to salvation and not be dissuaded by the things. Don't fall into despond and don't be trapped by the slough. Press on in faith and believe in the Lord Jesus. And that's the idea that is communicated there. Harry.
And I think the importance of what you just said is that Christian went forward.
Yes.
Despite all that.
Right, yes. Christian went forward in spite of that. Remember Pliable and what was the other guy? Obstinate and Pliable, that's right. And they fell in and they had enough of that. Christian is crazy. Or maybe Pliable fell in. Obstinate had turned away even before that. That's right. And Pliable fell in with Christian, but as he got out of that, he said, I've had enough of this. I'm going back. This is crazy. I'm not going to follow that nutty Christianity stuff. Okay, that's what happened. Yes, Harry. Yes. 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 And they knew a bit about. See, they knew that there were footsteps through. There were stones in the pool. They could discern the footpath through, to some extent. So yes, Debbie.
On that point, I thought it was interesting that Mercy had more. What do you call it? Vision
Yes.
At the clue than Christiana did.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? And she goes, oh, man, if I knew that I'd been invited to the Wicked Gate, I'd be more confident going through this than you are.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Yes,
well, there is always as you remember going through, there are different points at which one or the other of the party are represented as having more spiritual maturity at that point. And so it's something that Bunyan quite, I think, is an important picture of the Christian life. I mean, we're not all in the same spot. And there are points in which even those who seem to have been quite well advanced are actually spiritually fearful. And fail and falter. And somebody maybe who would have been considered, you know, less long in the faith by their faithfulness can encourage those who are older and fearful. So it doesn't matter what spot you're in the Christian church, you can be a new believer or you can be a seasoned saint. All right? Some of us maybe are well-preserved saints, I'm not sure. But anyway, okay, you can encourage one another in your weakness along the way. We all have our weakness points of weakness. So these are that's the image that he's communicating. Okay, anything else? Any other comments, Cam?
I think it's a neat picture of prayer in the part where they meet the two masters. she says as if the king knew that they should have a chaperone or so or whatever.
Right. Yes. Right, right.
And then the reliever says, well, it's not always necessary to grant things that aren't asked for.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's exactly right. That's important. So it should encourage us to pray. Often we think, well, God knows everything. Why do we have to pray? All right, well, it's for our benefit. Okay, that's one reason. Okay, the other reasons might get into heavy-duty metaphysics, so we won't try to do that today. But that's certainly one reason. Harry? Yeah, God's will is not our will just because we pray. That's right. It's not a, you know, automatic ticket. Sometimes it is God's will that we do suffer for His name's sake and bring glory to His name that way. All right. I think we should probably finish up at this point and let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much for the time that we've had together today. We pray for Your blessing on the rest of our day and we thank You for these lessons that we're finding in Pilgrim's Progress yet again. We pray Your bless as we continue to study over the next few months. In Jesus' name, amen.